Today's message is Receiving the Holy Spirit, subtitled about spiritual growth. And of course, you guys keep praying for me because my artistic ability is not real good. You know, yeah, well, he's marginally better than me when it comes to a whiteboard. Well, I'm trying to keep it humble. You know, he is very good, very talented in what he does, and I thank God for him. But you can tell what this is, but you may not be able to tell what that is. Excuse me? Jane got it. It's actually Niagara Falls. But she got it. There's a spiritual woman, if I ever seen one. So today, if we would take out our swords, and Becky, would you lead us? Lord, I have your word and I believe it's true. I have everything it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do. And I am everything it says I am. In Jesus' name. And that is the key. In Jesus' name. Not in Gary's name. Not in Steve Areno's name. Not in Irene's name. In Jesus' name. You know, we have been adopted into his family, and he has given us a name that is above all other names. He has given us a place, and we are now seated in chairs in this room, right? Where are we seated? Heavenly places, absolutely. And that speaks of our position in Jesus Christ. It is highly exalted. It is at the right hand of the Father. Right hand speaks of power and authority of to whom he has given that to us. Power and authority is for what? It's for dominion, but it's power is the right to wage war. And most of the church is still asleep at the wheel. They're driving down fat, dumb, and lazy and not realizing we are in a spiritual warfare. And this spiritual warfare is not like the conflict that's going on around the world where we shoot bullets, bombs, and all kinds of other things. But the church needs power. Church needs power from on high. And those of us that have received this power constantly go back to God for a fresh infilling. But today is a day in which this opportunity will come full circle for those who have not received the Holy Spirit in His power and in His fullness. And yes, you have received the Holy Spirit. You have received the Trinity, the Godhead, the moment you declared, Jesus, you're my Savior and you're my Lord. You have received it. But it's no different than having purchased a car and we got a brand new battery. We put that battery in that car and we didn't hook it up. Got power, right? It's in you, right? But you can't drive it. You can't make that thing go anywhere. And that's what God saw a long time ago when he prophesied through the prophets in Joel 2:28, and he says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on just streams of life. And, I thought I read that right. What's he say, Irene? He says, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And what will happen? What will be the sign that he has poured out? Come on, you Bible scholars, tell me. Old men will dream dreams. That's not me. That's not Tom. Young men will see visions. I'm a young man. I see visions. I do dream dreams. What else? We'll speak in other tongues. Absolutely. We will prophesy. What's that, Jane? Well, you know the living God when you received him, right? But now he's talking about power. He's talking about power that is given to his children so that he can speak to his children in a language that he wants to communicate with them. And when he communicates, we don't understand that language. And what happens is we try to put God in a box to try to relegate him to speak in a language for us to understand, when really we got it backwards. We need to learn the language of the Spirit, which is signs and wonders and prophecy and dreaming dreams. This is all the ways of the Spirit in which we need and power is released through those dreams. When we prophesy, we're prophesying to glorify Jesus, because prophecy can only come where? From the Spirit of Christ, right? And so what we need to understand, we are in dire need of not only to have the relationship with the Holy Spirit, but be infused with His power so that we can function at a heavenly realm. Amen? So, we talked about last week about anointing. Who's anointed? Dill, you don't seem like really convinced yet. You're like, I'm anointed, I think. No, Dill, do you think you're anointed? Because the other Dylan is like, or is it you had party too hard last night and I got to keep my hand on it. I could put some straps on the wall to help keep that up, Eric. There you go. Turn to Luke, the 4th chapter, and stand with me as we read this scripture, and it should be our heart's desire. Luke 4, stand with me. Please. Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. Even though Jesus said these words, let us personalize it, because we're in Jesus now, right? Say with me, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Amen. Who's anointed? Me and thee. Because we are in He. I can wrap that. You're anointed. But you have not been, this power of this anointing has not been released in you yet. Through you. Hasn't come upon you yet. Those of us that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the infilling of the Spirit have this. We have zeal for the things of God. We have zeal for the kingdom. And how many of us feel weary about our walk in Jesus Christ? Could it be you don't have power? Could it be you just need to get plugged in? Today, hopefully I'll be able to convince you. We have to understand that God has taken care of and prepared everything for the end time church. We are the end time church. I believe that we will usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. All the pieces are in play. All the pieces. And as I said to the men yesterday at the breakfast, I said, our rallying cry needs to be Revelation 12:11. Somebody quote that for me. We get the first two parts right, but I still think we love our lives more than we do the Lord. And so, part of us that know about this sacrifice that has to happen have been empowered. We don't care. We're already dead people. We already know it. Our lives are hidden in Christ. The life I now live is in Christ, who died for me and gave Himself up for me. How much more is it an honor and a privilege that our Father says to Ed, I need you to run through this wall. And Ed says, okay, I'll do it. But he's not allowed to pick up more than 5 pounds. Our Father's desire is to empower His church. But He is not going to empower His church. And we have seen this through church history. Individuals have been empowered. And I've heard, even through some of the conversations recently that I've had with other men of God, is that somebody's got to rise up. Somebody's got to rise up to speak truth. I said, yeah, I'm with you. It's called the church. The church of Jesus Christ needs to rise up. Romans says that the world is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. What are you waiting for? You don't need my permission. God has already said to do this. He conquered the enemy for us. And now it's our responsibility to expand His kingdom and win those people who do not know Him. And that may sound a little scary, but that's what we've been anointed for. Really. That's why I said, who's anointed? And we should always go, me, I'm anointed. God anointed me. He has put this anointing upon me. Now I need power for this anointing to go forward. John 14, 16 and 17 says, and I will pray, this is the Lord, I will pray the Father, He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. The truth, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells in you and will be with you. Two separate experiences. Two separate experiences. And is a conjunction. First this happens, and then this happens. Okay? Now this may sound redundant, especially to my leaders, but I have to bring this with clarity in such a way that we understand that the Scriptures are very clear. And I would say only in the last 100 years has God brought this progressive revelation to the forefront, of which I am truly appreciative of these men and women who have given themselves to learn the truths, to restore the church back to its original position, not to the original position of Acts, but to the original position of when God created everything. Did not Adam have dominion and power and authority over everything? Did he not? And so do you, because you're in Christ. And it's the Father's desire to give you the helper. We cannot do this thing in and of ourselves. We do not have the power, and that's why we have lives that are seemingly drained of any kind of power or consistency. We're always falling into sin, or we temporarily work these things out. Excuse me. Darn hay fever. I'll get to it. Thank you, but I want to talk. We need to understand that it is God's greatest desire for His kids to rise up. He doesn't want to compel you to do things. He wants to inspire you to do great things. And this inspiration starts in the church. If you can't be inspired into doing little things in the church, you won't be able to do great things for Him out there in the world. We had a person, I won't mention their name, but Pastor Tusi was just recently did a weekend in Ohio, Canton, Ohio, they were shutting down the abortion mills and protesting and doing all kinds of things out there because the homosexual agenda is wrapped up in their special rights that they want. And they are leaving the abortion issue, of which we need to reclaim. Life is important to God. The moral issue of being pure and holy and living a life that is worthy of Him is at stake here. And when we live lives less than what God wants, it doesn't glorify God. And I'm not here to tell you, but if there's no power in your life, there can be no purity. If there's no purity, there is no ethics. If there is no ethics, there are no spiritual growths for the people of God. And the reason is we don't have power. We don't have the power. And because of it, we have an impure and unsettling understanding of the Scriptures, because most of us have come out of churches that have taught that since the canonization of the Scriptures, the power of the Holy Spirit is not needed any longer. That's a lie. I believe that is demonically inspired, and that is why the church has suffered so much. And that is why the Catholic Church has expanded itself, because of religion and religiosity, that people think that doing the tenets of the faith and doing these things, the penance and all this other stuff, that they're right with God. God didn't create, and you've heard me say this, He didn't create us as human doings, He created us as human beings. We have to be like Jesus, and everything is contained within us. But if we don't have the power of the Spirit, we will live like them. And you can't tell the ain'ts from the saints anymore. Tell me if I'm wrong. The Holy Spirit is given, and the word for a helper is parakletos. And that means one who comes alongside. Jesus said He will give us an another. And that Greek word for another is really pretty unique, in that it means one that is like the other. In other words, what He's saying in here, one of another kind, one of the same kind. The Spirit of God that dwelled with the disciples dwelt in Jesus Christ. That was the Holy Spirit. Now dwells in who? Me. But Jesus didn't have power till when? When did He receive power? No. When He went into the wilderness. And it says, when He was tempted of the devil, He returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. Satan is going to test you and your faith, that if you're willing to receive the Holy Spirit today, he is going to tempt you to make you think you didn't receive anything. Jesus said the world can't receive the Holy Spirit because it can't see Him. We walk by sight, not by faith. Now, well, what do? Romans 10:17. Well, you guys are good. You're good. You keep this pastor from wandering. That's good. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so what happens is this opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit is uncommon. It's not dealt by our emotions. It's not dealt by our feelings. It is not dealt by anything but by faith. And that's why I said, you know, when I described about the waterfall, you know, everybody's up here, you know, we get the Holy Spirit, but power is generated when it comes down upon those in here, and the power is really utilized when it goes into the channel or the Niagara River. Remember? Only when you release this power as a channel will God use you. And we're too busy trying to keep our lives together than realize that God has our lives together. We just need to let Him be Lord of those lives and use us the way He wants to use us. What is predicated is bringing Father's harvest into His house. That's all it's predicated on. And our job is to go and preach the good news. The acceptable year of the Lord, His return. to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Whose job is that? It's the church's. But Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is going to work with us in doing this. Jesus was not another God, as what the world, the Roman Empire, was trying to say, and the Jews were trying to say, small g. The Holy Spirit and Jesus are God, dwelling simultaneously. The Spirit of God took on flesh and became the living Word of God, named Jesus the Christ. Remember, that's not his last name. That's his title. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we need to begin to learn to yield. And the first lesson of yielding is learning to yield to receive his blessings of his Holy Spirit. And a lot of us fight because we think we're not worthy to receive such an awesome blessing. How can God want to bless me by giving me power? Because you're his kid. That's why. You're kings and priests. You're supernatural beings. Yeah, we live in this flesh, but we need to learn to put this flesh down. We need to control our emotions. We need to do the things that God says is right. And the only way we can do those things is through his power, not ours. Because only then will we have temporary success. Turn to John 20:22. John 20:22, the Gospel of John. Somebody read that, please. Aloud. John 20:22. Aloud, please. Jesus breathed on who? Who's them? A little back in history. The apostles, he breathed on them. Jesus was fulfilling Genesis 2:28 when God breathed into man and man became a living soul. We're a bunch of head cases. Okay? We're entrapped because we have not received the Spirit. This word here is a command. It is not an option. It is a command from the Holy One telling us to receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathed on them. That's when the church was birthed. Okay? Didn't happen in Acts. It happened here. We became the people of God the moment we received his lordship and salvation. We become his sons and daughters the moment we receive the Holy Spirit. Do you see this? We become people of God when we become born again. We become his sons and daughters when we receive his Spirit. Your sons and daughters waiting to be revealed. For everyone that's received the Spirit. We don't do the same thing like everybody else. We live at a higher plane than everyone else. We live in perpetuity of excellence. because you now have an excellent spirit in you. God put that spirit in you. And he dwells in you. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit the moment we receive salvation. Right? But when power comes, that's when the glory of God begins to radiate in our hearts. Right now, those who do not have the Spirit of Christ flowing and burning in them has Ichabod written in their hearts. What does Ichabod mean? Spirit of God has departed, where he's no longer there. He's not there. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we become a sanctified vessel for him. That the glory of God now dwells in us and burns in us in such a way that whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do, we yield. And this yielding starts the moment we allow him to give us utterance. Doesn't it say in Acts, and they all spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. What is utterance? Utterance means that these words that the Holy Spirit gives to us are there. We just need to speak them. The Spirit needs us to yield our bodies, our vocal cords, our tongue, to speak in a language that our spirits communicate with our Father. And it is beyond the ability for us to reason. But we insist that we need to know what we're saying. Now, I want you to insist in not using your brain. I want to insist that you disconnect your brain and allow your spirit to commune with your Father. As you commune with your Father, power comes upon you more and more. Paul says, I speak with my voice, I speak in tongues. I sing with my voice, I sing in the Spirit or in tongues more than all of you. Why? We have to understand why the Holy Spirit was given. The Holy Spirit was given, one, to empower us, but we don't know how we're supposed to pray. We think that we need to know how to pray. What we need to do is work with the Holy Spirit to pray. We need to yield to pray. And so, a spirit, God is not going to violate our will. He wants to work with us to speak. He'll give us the words. We need to say them. He will not violate our will. A demon will. A whole thing about a demon is they will supersede your will to capture you and then make you do what they want. God wants to inspire you to do his will with him. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't work in spite of us. He doesn't work instead of us. He works in us and through us to accomplish the will of God. And that's why Jesus said, John 15, you know, it's important for us to abide. If we are not abiding in Christ, we're not part of the vine. If we are not part of the vine, the Holy Spirit will not produce fruit. You do not produce fruit. He does. He takes your life and he changes it all around and he says, okay, Gar, I need you to stop cursing. But God, that's really effing hard to do. And for me, I used that word as a noun, an adjective, and a verb all in the same sentence. But when I yielded to the Holy Spirit, Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. Can you understand about yielding now? How important is your part to yield to the Holy Spirit? And when we start teaching about prophetic people, I'm going to talk about how He operates and through promptings and leadings and signs and wonders. Because He wants to establish a prophetic awareness here in the church so He can establish an apostolic covering upon the land. And then Jesus comes and rules and reigns. Can you see this? This is what we've been working on for the last 10 years, and we now are beginning to see the fruit of what God is doing. For those who don't want to receive the Holy Spirit, I just want to say that He's not going to force you to receive the Holy Spirit. He's a gentleman. If you think you have all that you need of God, it's okay. You can believe that. But understand, you stymie your spiritual growth. You do. Part of the progression of maturity is having the power. It amazes me how many people don't have power in their lives. And so what they do is they communicate by cursing themselves with the words of the devil, not communicating how blessed and anointed they are in the things of God. God is not going to haggle with you. God is not going to bargain with you that, you know, it may just not be your time to receive the Holy Spirit. But for all you who are hungry and thirsty, that opportunity is going to present itself today to you. A person who is thirsty and hungry doesn't want to haggle and bargain with. They want to know where to sit down and eat and drink. And that's why it's so interesting, the metaphor of drinking in the Spirit. When you drink something, you grab it and you ingest it, correct? Well, the Holy Spirit wants to come upon you to be in you so that He is totally immersed in you and you in Him. This is what Jesus was referring to as, I and the Father are one, and you are one in me. My prayer is that you be one in the Father. Can you see how this is coming around and how important it is? Jesus wasn't talking about the 12. He was talking about us. He said His words are spirit and life. And He wants us to have so much of the Spirit and so much of life that we not only have life, but we have life abundantly. So that when we receive the Holy Spirit, rivers of life will flow out of your inner beings. And it's not something to be afraid of. Understand, your Father wants you to have the fullness of Him. Where you are today, when you take this step, there's no turning back. You will find that the life that you had before totally dissatisfies you. Doesn't disqualify you, because we have sin, we all sin, but God, through His Holy Spirit, cleanses us and forgives us if we repent of it. It's not habitual. And we all mess up. But God doesn't hold that against us. He just looks at it as part of the growing pains for us. And the beauty of being with this power and this character. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit creates the character, the Christ-likeness of Jesus, and produces the power or the fruit. The gifts are manifested for service. And we'll talk about the gifts. We'll talk about how to recognize the gifts, how to allow the Holy Spirit use you in these gifts, how to prophesy, how to have words of wisdom that He wants, how to recognize that it's God. God's words inspire us through His love. The Holy Spirit is given to empower us. In part of receiving this empowerment, tongues is a sign of receiving the Holy Spirit. It's just that simple. Your spirit speaking to God. If you want this power, you want this infilling, come forward. If you don't want, that's okay. I'm not offended. It may not be your time. Understand, Jesus wants to baptize you. Of which John said, he's not worthy. John the Baptist is not worthy to even unlock the latch of his sandal. I asked the deacons and deaconesses to come forward.